Good morning and welcome to the Community Campfire. I'm John Burdick.
I'm Sarah Irvin.
And I'm Andrea Buchanan.
And welcome.
Coming up this hour, Amber has a story of how four teens are channeling Footloose. I love that movie. By turning Tuesday nights in Heber into a community-wide social dance party full of swing and small-town charm.
Love that.
And we also have This Day in History, Fun Facts, Coach Skinner, and the Skinny on Sports for this week, and the Campfire Kids and their take on the world.
And we'll finish up the hour with our music jam sesh featuring Utah-based indie rock band Crooked Kings. They dropped by earlier this week, and we had the best time.
Yeah, you got to talk with them, Sarah.
It was so fun.
And speaking of talking, let's hear from Madeline.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
This is Amber. School may be out for summer, but Campfire Kid Darby, also known as Ferris Bueller Jr., takes us back to the time he faked a fever to skip school.
But the night before, I'd like been planning this. You know those heat warmers you can get and like plug in and they heat up? I had gotten one of those and plugged it in, and I'd put the cord behind my bed so no one could see it, and then I stuffed it in behind my pillowcase.
I felt her head and I was like, oh my gosh, you are really hot. Oh no, Darby.
But she also felt the heating pad too.
Well, I think I saw the cord first. There was a teeny bit of the cord sticking out. And I was like, wait a minute here. Why is there a cord? And I said, Darby, I'm going to not let you read Calvin Hobbes comic books before you go to bed anymore if this is what you're going to do the next morning.
Oh, Darby.
I love
your mom's on to you.
Good luck.
All right. Our story this hour.
Thanks to four local teens, they are bringing country swing, line dancing, and plenty of small town spirit to Heber's Main Street.
There must be something in the air, I'm telling you guys, because I've line danced twice in the last month.
Seriously?
I think it's an actual thing.
I think so, too.
I really do. It's like everywhere I turn, people are line dancing. I mean, I haven't line danced in years, and suddenly it's happening.
Well,
so let's listen to what everyone's talking about. Go ahead. What were you going to say,
No,
Sarah?
I was just going to say, I'm impressed that you've gone twice. Amber was telling us about her experience with this next group, and we were laughing about how hard it is to get your arms and your legs to sort of move in sync. So the fact that you've gone twice, I'm extraordinarily impressed.
Oh, I'm not
impressed.
Good at it, but I'm committed. To being better.
Let's all learn about the sycamore swing.
Sounds
together.
Good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I come from a long line of non-dancers, rhythmically challenged, profoundly offbeat. And according to my husband, I'm bossy, at least when we try dancing together. And I say, step it up and follow my lead.
This is where the easy stuff happens. So after this,
that's the easy stuff. Admittedly, that was me, audibly scoffing, when our instructor, Kayla Jensen, called those dance moves the easy part. Still, I was pleasantly surprised when I wandered into the old Ace Hardware on Heber's Main Street and found a lively social hotspot. Most Tuesday nights, the new Sycamore building is bustling with country swing steps, line dances, and a whole lot of laughter from folks of all ages. Welcome to Sycamore Swing, part small-town dance hall, part time machine to the movie Footloose, but you know, the version your grandma and your youth pastor would approve of. And it all started just a few months ago with four high schoolers, Emmett Sterling, Emily Monk, Christine Prowse, and Garrett Scott. These friends have long loved the big band hangar dances at the Heber Valley Airport and logged plenty of miles chasing late night social dance floors in Provo and Salt Lake City, some open until 3 a.m. But they weren't fans of burning the after midnight oil, so Garrett and his friends had an idea. If we build some good clean fun right here in the Heber Valley, maybe, just maybe, they will come. P.S. They is you. And apparently, me.
The goal is to create a community of people who enjoy dancing. It's to give people a thing to do on Tuesday nights. I hear all the time at the high school just kids saying there's no place to go in Heber for a date. You can't go anywhere in Heber. Everyone has to drive down to Provo to go to an escape room or a movie or anything fun, right? But, you know, this is just a place in Heber where teenagers can go, and older people are definitely also welcome. I've seen all age ranges there. It's really fun. It's just a place where people can come together and do something that they enjoy.
As summer heats up, the dancing starts a little later. From 8 to 9 p.m., you can jump into the beginner line dance and swing lessons. No partner or prior rhythm required. Then from 9 to 11, it's full-on social dancing. A lot of the music leans country with modern and classic hits thrown in for diversity. And the team keeps it lively with a solid mix. One line dance for every two or three swing tunes. And the price? Just $8 if you come solo, or $14 for a couple. That covers both the lessons and the party. For weekly schedule changes, check out their Instagram, sycamore_swing. Garrett is used to being in the spotlight, but dancing wasn't always second nature. Just ask him about his recent role in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat with High Valley Arts, where he played Elvis. Well, technically Pharaoh, but Elvis style.
Being Elvis just really gives me a new idea of how to move my body. I had no idea that I could move my hips until I was forced to. And then I realized I could a little bit. And as Emily frequently tells me, I need to get better at my hip movement during dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty fun having all the girls in my room.
Oh yeah. That's nothing new to me.
And while Garrett jokes about his magnetic charm, he's also the kind of person who notices when someone walks into the Sycamore looking like a deer in headlights. He remembers exactly what that felt like the first time Emily took him swing dancing in Provo.
I was terrified. Like, she danced with me for 10 minutes and she's like, I'm gonna go dance with other people. You should do the same and try to get to know people, right?
Yeah.
I just went and hid in a corner for like a half hour, genuinely on the verge of tears because it was so scary. And then, like, I went back out there, and I started actually talking with people, and it wasn't that bad. Because everyone in this community, like, we've been trying to build a community here, right? Mm-hmm. They're nice. They're people who like to dance, and they like to show off that they like to dance, and so they'll teach you, and you'll be impressed, and then you'll learn. And, you know, like,
and then
it
you'll
just,
be the cool person.
Yeah, exactly. Your confidence grows as your ability grows.
Sure, it looks like dancing from the outside, but for these teens, it's a crash course and a whole lot more.
Etiquette, social interaction.
Learning
how to ask people, learning how to be rejected, learning how to apologize if bump into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge degree of respect that goes into it
mm-hmm.
that is sometimes lost in modern day society.
Yeah.
And so,
are you sure you guys are only teenagers?
But yeah, I mean, even just like walking somebody onto the floor and then like, you know, thanking them and walking off with them.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to a time of
just a respect.
Yeah.
It is lacking.
Yeah.
And dance etiquette has been built up for hundreds of years.
So you're saying there's not a lot of dance etiquette in moshing?
I would not say so.
From what I have heard,
I would say people rip off their shirts and throw their shoes in the air and then they trample each other. That is moshing.
How pleasant.
No, yeah.
I've been trampled, I have had a shoe thrown at me, I have been in the center of a mosh and feared for my life. It's just something
and
that,
some
while
people
I respect it, I like country swing dancing more.
Yeah.
Emily says the founding foursome aren't just dancers, they're full-fledged entrepreneurs.
It's also incredible experience, right? From negotiating prices and times with our venue, finding the venue in the first place, then running a business. Like, it, to be teenagers and to be doing that, I think it's so incredibly valuable.
Why not try something else out? It's a lot of fun.
And then there's actually a lot of benefits to dancing, and in general, be that improving your overall health, as well as social skills. I think there's been a huge, my confidence has gone up,
mm-hmm.
maybe too much, but it really gets you out of your shell to be dancing and talking with strangers, and then you're like, oh, I can do this.
Can I do this? Jamie and I were total newbies, thrown into a crowd of about 25 dancers learning a line dance from instructors Ben Cornwall and Kayla Jensen, aka the groovy cowgirl on Instagram. I can confidently say we were the worst dancers in the room. Turns out line dancing requires a level of mental agility our brains hadn't quite caught up with yet. Then came round two, learning a few swing moves. We just hoped they'd go easy on us.
For the next move we're going to learn, do you guys want to learn something a little old school or something a little new school? Old school, we like old school. Okay. Do you want to do something a little tricky?
Yeah.
Something a little tricky? All right, let's do something a little tricky. Okay.
Our move that was a little tricky is called the window, a swing move where the lead spins the follower and somehow creates a window with their arms. Picture arms everywhere, spinning and flailing. But once we figured it out, it was an absolute blast. When Kayla and Ben were busy guiding others, we turned to our fellow dancers for backup. The whole night was full of good vibes. Everyone laughing, helping each other out, and totally unbothered by looking a little goofy. Some people were incredible dancers and a lot of fun to watch, which made the whole learning experience even better. Here's co-founder Emmett again.
For me, I just love dancing. It is the most fun thing I do. And so I want to make it this sustainable thing that can keep on happening, so I have this place I can go every week to just have that joy.
These four teens are bringing serious footloose energy to Heber, lighting up Tuesday nights with boots, scootin' fun, and plenty of joy. And that old Ace Hardware, now a spot where even the rhythmically challenged, hi, it's me, can swing along. This is Amber Johnson for KPCW's Community Campfire.
Andrea here. I caught up with two Campfire kids, brother and sister Emmy and John, who were visiting from Newport Beach in to see their favorite aunt, Sarah Irvin. And they had some really funny stories about their favorite foods and their not so favorite foods. Of course, broccoli's on the list. It's always on the list.
I really like burritos.
Any kind of special burrito?
BRCs. Bean, rice, and cheese.
BRC? Is that what you say when you go and order your burrito?
Yes.
And they understand that. Is that burrito language, BRC?
Yes.
Tell me about the grossest food that you eat.
Broccoli.
I love broccoli. I like when it's like all salty.
And what do you not like about it?
When it's boiled and salty.
I don't like a lot of like types of fish. So.
Fish. You don't like fish?
Most fish.
Oh my gosh, I loved meeting them so much. Thank you for bringing them into the station. That was great.
It was a lot of fun to have them.
The burrito thing.
Oh my gosh, I have to tell you. So
BRCs,
John loves a good BRC, and it's become a running joke now at the holidays because, I don't know, a couple of years ago, we were enjoying some bean rice and cheese burritos, and I asked him for a bite of his. He wouldn't give it to me. And then on Christmas morning, under the tree, wrapped up in foil, was a half-eaten BRC for Aunt Rara for me. And now he gives it to me every holiday, or every Christmas, which is awesome.
That is so funny. I love
it. Thank you, Bubs.
They're adorable.
Good job, Emmy.
Hey, what's going on in town?
Well, we have a lot going on, you guys. My goodness, it's summer, so that means a lot is going on. This afternoon, the Park City Community Foundation hosts its Summer Solstice, longest day of the year, everyone, family celebration at Canyons Village from 4 to 7 p.m. There will be free food, face painting, live music from Jake and the Heist, and you can connect with the people behind the Early Childhood Alliance, Youth United, Zero Food Waste, Women's Giving Fund, and Community Pass Club. Plus, bid on a retired Sunrise chairlift that you can take home, all in support of these amazing causes. And then also happening tonight is the Mountain Town Music's annual fundraiser for the Michael James Richards Scholarship. And if you don't know about Brian Richards, Mountain Town Music's founder, his son Michael passed in 2019, and this fundraiser is in his honor and to carry on his legacy. The fundraiser is a night of music by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers album Wildflowers from 7 to 9:30 at the Prospector Conference. And in case you missed it, Leslie had Brian on last week talking about this cool event on June 10th. You can go back and listen.
Yeah, that was a great conversation, and it should be an awesome night of music in honor of Michael J. Richards. Also, tomorrow, it's the Pride Carnival at Encircle in Heber from 5:30 to 7:30 with games, activities, and local organizations offering resources and support. It'll be a joyful and uplifting gathering for LGBTQ individuals and their families across the Heber Valley. That's, again, tomorrow night, the Pride Carnival at Encircle in Heber. And then tomorrow, continue the summer solstice celebration with Brian Friedman's band Free Dog for their third annual summer solstice concert at Cornu Ranch in Peowa. We had Brian, of course, on a couple weeks ago. We've got his set here with the campfire music sesh. Always fun to have Free Dog in the studio, and that should be a great night celebrating the longest day of the year. And then, of course, this weekend, it's the Antique Power Show at the Richard W. Erickson Foundation Museum from through June 22nd. Amber had a great story on that Antique Power Show on the community campfire last week that you can check out.
Yeah, you can hear that from kpcw.org, or you can just subscribe to the Community Campfire podcast and keep up on all the stories. But rolling into the Rolling Thunder. Here we go. Coach Skinner.
The crowd roars.
What's up, Coach?
All right, back by popular demand, the Skinny on Sports. That's right. We've got a lot to get to today, so let's kick things off with Park City Sailing Summer Solstice. That's celebrating the
first... Say that five times fast.
I got it out one time. That's all I'm going to do. That's going to be at Jordanelle State Park. That's tomorrow from 11 to 3 p.m. Rides and demos, infos about programs, summer camps, barbecue games, music, and fun and gear swap. Scott Vermaris was on our local news hour yesterday with all the details. He's from Park City Sailing. Go check out that interview on kpcw.org for all those details. The Utah Olympic Park has a special day tomorrow. It's Olympic and Paralympic Day. That's all-day activities, including athlete meet and greets and autographs. That'll be followed by the Flying Ace Show. We got some events over at Soldier Hollow this weekend. It's the Western Region Roller Ski Biathlon Championships. That's going on today through Sunday. Development opportunity for biathletes residing in the western part of the United States. And this is an official training sprint race and shootout and a mass start race going on there. We also have the Intermountain Cup Wasatch 50 mountain biking. This is a challenging 24-mile mountain biking loop through Wasatch State Park. Got 2,700 feet of elevation change on that one. Also in Heber, we've got the Heber Valley United Soccer Tournament. This is their first annual Heber Valley Cup. That's running, started yesterday, running through Saturday at Southfield Park, Veterans Memorial Park, Wasatch High School, and Rocky Mountain Middle School. And we do want to mention that Park City Sailing and Utah Olympic Park are financial supporters of KPCW. Over to hockey. You know?
Take a breath.
With hockey, obviously the first thing you think of when you think hockey dominance is Sunrise Florida. That's right. The Florida Panthers repeated this week as Stanley Cup champs, taking out the Edmonton Oilers in six games. The NBA Finals are still going. We have a Game 7 to decide it all. That's going to be Sunday evening. This is after the Pacers blew out the Thunder last night to stay alive. And then rolling right into that, there's no rest for the weary there. The NBA's draft is on Wednesday. The Jazz have the number 5 and number 21 picks. But we don't care about that. We're watching for the Rockets at number 10. And we're also looking at, you know, pre-draft trades and things like that. Like, will the Rockets actually trade for Kevin Durant? Those are some of the things on the radar there.
Keeping you up at night.
That's right. So anyway, that is your Skinny on Sports. I'm Coach Skinner, you know, and I'm still wondering, what did the Sacramento Kings do that sparked all those No Kings protests last weekend? Okay. Or maybe it was the LA Kings. I don't know.
Thank you. Coach Skinner, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Today, you know what today is, right?
I do not. It's June 20th.
It is June 20th, and it is National Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Oh, man.
And I've noticed the lack of pups in the place here.
We needed the heads up on that.
Every year celebrated the first Friday after Father's Day, and it was celebrated originally in the UK in 1996. And then in 99, Pet Sitters International founded the first National Take Your Dog to Work Day. Number one benefit is it reduces stress at work. Also, people who take breaks with their dogs tend to come back and plow through work better than those who are just sitting at the computer the whole time. So bring your work. If you have left for work and didn't bring your dog, go back home and get your pup. And the other one that I thought I should definitely mention is June 20th, 1921 was the official birthday of Edward Cullen from the Twilight series.
Oh my God, really? That's your fact of the day? Happy birthday, Edward Cullen.
Okay, were you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
I've never seen it.
Ooh, okay, never mind.
Not a fan.
So in 87, do you know what the number one hit was? Lisa and the Cult Jam.
Yep, head to toe.
There it is.
Oh yeah.
And she hung out there, and then Mariah Carey in '92 with "I'll Be There."
Go ahead.
Oh no, give us I won't sing Mariah, but it's in my head now. Thanks, John.
Yeah, anytime. And everybody out there, you're welcome. So yeah, that was 1992's number one hit on June 20th.
All right, and then also on this day in 1969, David Bowie recorded "Space Oddity," the first song about the fictional astronaut Major Tom, who of course made future appearances as well.
This leads us right into our campfire session of the week. I heard you guys got to hear music from this incredible band, the Crooked Kings, that came into KPCW. I was here, and there was like six or seven of these musicians. They filled the place, and it was incredible. So we can't wait to hear what you've done. But first, it's time to pay the bills and hear our last campfire kid of the day.
Amber here. Campfire kid Darby once had a burning question, literally, when he asked, "What happens if I do fire upside down?" Let's just say the answer left a permanent mark and one very concerned mom.
Yeah, he likes to scientifically try things out sometimes.
Like what?
I found a burn mark on our ceiling.
I told you, why would you put a lighter on a bookshelf where you know I clearly climb?
It was on the very top bookshelf was a lighter to light a candle.
I was very tall then.
And I asked him, I said, "What is this?" And he said, "It's a burn mark." And I said, "Why is a burn mark here?" And he said, "I wanted to see what would happen if I held it up to the ceiling." I said, "Well, the house burns down. That's what happens."
Welcome back to the Community Campfire. I'm Sarah Irvin.
And I'm Mitch Elliott. Today we have something very special in store for you guys straight out of Salt Lake City. The Crooked Kings are making waves with their indie rock sound and emotionally raw lyrics. While started up as a group of college friends jamming in basements, has grown into one of Utah's most exciting bands with national tours and millions of streams to their name. Songs like "Sick of Being Young" speak to a generation navigating uncertainty, and their music, equal parts cathartic and catchy, keeps fans coming back for more. Whether you've seen them live at Kilby or discovered them on your favorite playlist, Crooked Kings are proof that something special is brewing here in the Utah music scene. Welcome to the Community Campfire, Crooked Kings.
Thank you for having us.
Wow. Intro.
That was a great intro.
I really needed that today.
Flattered, honestly.
Well, before we get into some of the backstories and origins of the band, I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves. Let's start over here.
Cool. I'm Dave.
What do you play, Dave?
I play the keys.
There we go. Nice. My name's Ollie. I sing and play guitar.
Nice. I'm Quinn. I'm on the drums.
I'm Paul. I'm on guitar.
I'm Matt, and I play the bass.
Woohoo! And you brought all of that here today.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
It's cozy.
We have an absolutely packed studio in here, and we can't wait for you guys to perform. But we want to learn a little bit more about you guys. So you guys have been a band since 2019, but you've been friends for longer. So can you kind of tell us about the origins of Crooked Kings here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess 2019 is when us five, I guess, met. When did you join? Was that 2019?
Or 2020? I'm not sure exactly. It was around the beginning of COVID, and they were in need of a drummer, and I came in. Yeah, maybe all you could tell, like, the OG story.
Yeah, it kind of just started. I got home from a mission, and then I was just playing, like, a bunch of guitar because I had time before I went to college. And then I kind of just started playing a bunch, and then I got hit up for, like, a scam show on, like, SoundCloud. And so I ended up, like, needing to come up with a name and stuff. So, like, really quickly I threw together the Crooked Kings, and then we had two of my friends that are not in the band anymore just were, like, fill-in members, come, and they just helped me out for the gig.
Nice.
So it kind of just started randomly, and then eventually I met Paul, and Paul played guitar. And, like, I was, like, new to the whole music scene, so I was just excited to have someone that played guitar. So I was like, "Hey, Paul, want to join my band?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it continued. And then Paul knew, like, Dave, and then Quinn, and then I knew Matt. So, like, all the pieces kind of came together at college. But, yeah, it was really fun and kind of random how it came together.
Well, we're so happy that the randomness came together.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys were talking about how some of you go way back into sort of elementary school days. Tell us a bit.
Yeah. Me and Matt, I'm a year older than Matt, but I remember, like, back in the day, like, second grade, I went to a private school called Waterford and played lacrosse. And he was on the lacrosse team, and I liked him a bunch, and he was really good for how young he was, so I thought he was super cool. And then, like, 20 years later, he just, like, showed up at the University of Utah, and I was like, what's up, dude? And you play guitar, and then we needed a bassist, and his dad played bass, so I was like, it's in your blood, you can do it, like, pick the bass up, yeah. And then, yeah. That's
so funny, I remember just being a kid and, like, playing lacrosse, and Ollie played goalie, and I was just like, oh, man, Ollie Martin, a crazy name, like, young, and, like, I'm younger, you know, I'm like, I wonder if he even knows me, and, like, we had mutual friends, and then came to college, and I was like, I was a young freshman, and like met Ollie right away, and convinced me, he was like, gotta play the, like join the band, play the bass, and I was like, I don't know, man, like, I'm doing school and everything, and then finally I was like, you know what, let's do it, and it's been awesome, like, really enjoy it, so.
Yeah, and then these guys knew each other, too.
Yeah, Dave and I go back to, like, seventh grade. We went to this weird charter school in Rose Park called the Salt Lake Center for Science Education, and
yeah.
It was a ragtag group of people out there, and we had a time.
Yeah.
We started
cringy little kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like we wrote a couple of cringy songs in high school too.
Were you guys aspiring scientists at the time at this?
No, I don't know why. I don't know why you went there, and I don't know why I went there.
And then they bullied Quinn later.
Yeah.
And then so they're a couple years older. They were good friends with my older brother. And in high school, I was kind of the punching bag. I remember getting tossed down like a hill, like in a garbage can or something. And, you know, just all the...
I never participated.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want
to. It wasn't these two. They were in the group, though. No, I wasn't actually, but it was kind of hard. I was happy to hang out with the older brother and
we were
the cool kids. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But so, and then it all came together.
Yeah, some origin stories.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy, man. Well, it's awesome that this all came together, and the timing of it is kind of crazy, too, with COVID, like, right around the corner when you guys formed. So how did you guys navigate that time as a new band?
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of a blessing and a curse, like, just because you couldn't, like, go out and tour or do anything or play shows, but it also gave us time to just write and focus on trying to build ourselves up on social media and reaching out, and we found a label at that time, luckily. So, yeah, it just gave us time and resources to kind of get a leg up on the actual music and album side of things before we started playing and... live shows.
We were able to get like a manager, a label, and then like booking agents in place before we could even go on tour because of COVID. So we ended up coming out of it with kind of all the pieces in place, and it just worked out pretty well, actually.
The silver linings of,
Totally.
Yeah.
That aside, too, is like I just joined the band, so it was like a great opportunity to kind of get chemistry up, and like I think we'd all been playing in bands and whatnot, and it was like we kind of all really got to figure out our sound, like what we were going for, and then like write an album together, and like I think it was like really good proving grounds. We came out of it on the other side as like a proper band rather than like a ragtag group, kind of.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, that was that time you guys were just like molding your sound and also getting all the pieces together. That's really cool.
Has growing up in Utah influenced your sound, do you think? I know some of you, left the state, come back. Obviously, life experiences influence everyone's songwriting, but Utah itself?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say for all of us, I think, I don't know, growing up here, it's obviously kind of like a bubble. So I think like a lot of our songs are kind of about the bubble and like exiting the bubble or like thinking about the bubble, looking back and like seeing how the bubble affected you and your youth. So I think that's been like really central, honestly, to a lot of our songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think it's something we all strongly connect with because we're all like Salt Lake Valley kids. So it's, I don't know, we're born and raised right there, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've experienced the same thing up here in Park City. There is this sense of a bubble, and maybe it's just the mountains coming together and, kind of making you feel like you're in like this one little spot. But yeah, it can definitely affect the way that you kind of perceive things as well. So
for sure.
It's cool that you guys have that experience too. Before we get any farther in the interview, we want to hear you guys play something. So the people out there who might not be familiar with you can get a taste of what the Crooked Kings do. So what song do you want to play us for your first song here on the Community Campfire?
We're going to do Lion Through Their Teeth.
All right. Here is Lion Through Their Teeth by Crooked Kings right here on KPCW.
Woo!
Thank you.
That was great. Oh, thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much for playing that. I love that one.
Thank you.
Can you give us a little backstory on sort of how that song came together, maybe that whole album?
Yeah. I think that one was written, that was like one of the first ones we wrote, I think, for All the Good Days, which was not our last album, but the one before. And we worked with a producer called Jackson Phillips in LA for both those albums. But I'm trying to think back. It was a long time ago, but I think it was kind of exiting college and like thinking about, I don't know, kind of like this fakeness of like, you're so young and everyone thinks they know what they're doing, you know? And it's like, oh, I'm doing this. And there's all this confidence. And I think it comes from like more of a point of anxiety where you're like, I really don't know what I'm doing, and almost kind of calling them out, but also like a little bit yourself anxious still about, am I making the right decision? Do they really know what they're doing? Do I not? I think we wrote it from a perspective of one of my friends that I was like hanging out with. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it started. But I guess production and like album wise, I don't know, someone else could take that with Jackson.
I have one really specific memory. I was like working a full-time job at the time and was like traveling the country, going into like hospitals and stuff for it. And I was like alone in my hotel room in Memphis, and these two were doing their first like initial writing trip with Jackson, and they sent like one of the demos. It might have even been lying through their teeth. And I was just, the AC was out in my hotel room. I was in my underwear just like wandering around like listening to it on my phone speaker, being like, oh my god, there's something big here.
Nice.
It's a really beautiful picture.
Yeah.
You just painted. Thank you.
I wish you could have been there.
Think about that for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Future song.
Yeah, I got a FaceTime listening.
But going back to what Ollie said, like working with Jackson, or Daywave is his artist name, was really fun for us. It was kind of going into like working with our first producer, because our first album we worked with just like an engineer. And so like we're all young and we're like asking him, we're like, yo, what do you think of this? And he's like, well, I don't know. It sounds good though. Yeah. So like it was cool like collaborating with him. And I remember before, like Paul said, Ollie and Dave went out and like did a trip. And so like the rest of us three were just kind of at home. And at first he was like a little skeptical of having like five people in a band, because like his room's the size of this, pretty small. But we ended up squeezing in there like in August. It was super hot, just like this. We're pretty used to it. And it was really fun just, you know, like collaborating with someone else who kind of like we looked up to, I guess you could say, at least I did. So
he kind of became like a sixth member for the last two albums, which was great to have that kind of outside perspective.
And I feel like we all like, I listened to Drag by Daywave when I was in high school and loved that song. So it was kind of like, whoa,
yeah,
like
it was definitely
with a famous artist, like this is crazy. Yeah.
It's like walking up, it's like, what's your name? It's like, I definitely know your name already.
Play it cool.
Yeah,
play it cool.
So on that note, I love to know sort of the musical influences behind the bands that we have here on the Community Campfire. Obviously, you guys are still evolving and developing your sound, but who would you say are some of your biggest musical influences for each of you?
Yeah, I think we're all a little different in terms of that. I'm trying to think of like common ones.
I feel like across the board, I remember like
Killers.
Killers. I think first KG album Elephant. Was like Peach Pit. I remember was like everyone was like really kind of like that was like a force that kind of brought the people together. And then from there, I think we kind of got a little louder and was like more like these rock bands, like you guys mentioned, like Cage the Elephant, The Strokes, like things more in that vein. And then like you can kind of hear it on the next album. It's like drums were louder, like it was like more rock and a little faster maybe. And
for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just saw Peach Pit a week or two ago with Bristin Maroney, and you guys toured with Bristin Maroney as well, right? Is that, or you had a show?
We didn't tour, we played in Nashville with him for like his Paradise Festival, which was super fun. That was like 6 months, maybe not 6 months ago, was that?
No, I'm not the person.
Yeah, some amount of time ago. All the touring has made my brain not work so well, so.
Yeah, well, speaking of touring, you guys just went on a tour in March with Flip Turn. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, that was great. Short and sweet. It was like honestly kind of ideal. Like all the rooms were sold out. Crowds were like incredible. It was just like Flip Turn guys were all super nice.
Great tour.
Really fun. Yeah.
Great tour.
Yeah.
Great
tour. Yeah. I think it's always fun to see. They're pretty similar in age to us too. So it's always fun to see bands that are like similar in age, and they're definitely ahead of us. And so it's cool just to like have like not really a blueprint, but you can kind of see where it goes, you know, from where we're at. Cause we're in a van and trailer. They're tour bus and semi truck. So and, you know, there's levels to the thing, and it's fun to watch them like slowly progress through those.
Yeah.
Okay, so who drives the van?
Bobo.
Yeah, Bobo's missing. Our tour manager. We'll drive the van too if he gets too tired. Yeah. But yeah, he's definitely the one that if no one wants to drive, it's kind of his job. So.
I avoid the wheel like the plague.
Yeah.
I drive Nintendo. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he's playing Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you guys have a lot of time, that like downtime when you're traveling from place to place. And we like to take a look at artists' Instagrams before they come in here. And I saw this awesome picture of Quinn with a Rubik's Cube in his mouth.
That was pretty good.
And it says you can solve a Rubik's Cube in 2 minutes and 27 seconds. Can you keep that up?
With his mouth.
That was completely, I couldn't even solve one if you gave it to me right now. But it was one of, we had like a 12-hour drive from Salt Lake to LA. I used to know how to do a Rubik's Cube when I was a kid. I'm going to relearn it. Relearned it and just like memorized the algorithm. And it was just like ridiculous, like autism moment. Just going so, just like so fixated. And then I got it to the point I could do it in like 2.5 minutes. And then I totally forgot how to do it all of a sudden.
So we can't just throw
no,
you
away.
No, right,
I would not be able to do it. Maybe like the first like layer or something.
Yeah. Put the Rubik's Cube away.
I've never been able to do a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have way too much time in the van. We have this other thing called the cube, and it's like this terraforming
the shape. The shape. We call it the shape.
Yeah, we call it the shape. And it just, you can make like 72 different shapes with this thing. But we haven't.
It's hard to describe.
It's
it.
Like a it's like a magnetic like children's toy.
Yeah. That, like, you can... But you're supposed to like keep track of all the shapes. So now there's always arguments of if we found every shape.
I've found every shape.
We play with it a lot.
Yeah. So now everyone sits there and they're like, "This is a new shape." And everyone gets pretty mad
Dave
about it.
I found every shape. Dave so they're like, "This is a new shape." Every shape. I'm like, "No,
you have not. No." Yeah.
You guys will know shape. Because it'll like open a portal to a new dimension. Exactly. Yeah. Really exactly. Solved all the shapes.
It rotates between playing with shapes, listening to music, and then sometimes we're just like 8 hours into like a hangover drive and we're all dead silent. So
or we've been playing some games.
Yeah, we'll play charades.
We've been playing charades. I'm trying to think what was the dumb game?
The animal game?
The animal game. Oh, yeah, what's that one? Good. Share that one.
You just come up with a name, like a person's name or a character's name, and then the rest of the group has to guess which animal is that name. So like
it's not really much of it. It's just kind of guessing.
I bet all these listeners are just fascinated.
Dave, what animal is Dave?
Dino. Dave the Dino.
We play the license plate game and we've gotten everything except for Hawaii.
Ooh,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
But then we come home from tour and there's a Hawaii license plate parked out front of our house.
Doesn't count though. Yeah.
Doesn't count.
It has to be on the road.
Yeah, it has to be on the road.
Okay, so you guys, as far as touring goes, do you have favorite types of venues? Are you like, do you like a small dark club? Do you like outdoor? What's your preference?
I think we've been through a couple bad, not bad venues, but a couple bad green rooms where like touring a Flip Turn, it's like, this is nice.
It's more about the green room than it is about the rest of the venue.
Yeah, I mean, all the venues are fun, like I feel like regardless of size, but yeah, definitely some things just like the shower, like you walk in, it's clean. You're like, okay, this is pleasant. Yeah,
or if they have a shower,
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I would say all the ones that are nice, and I don't know. There's other venues too that have food, and that's always the best because you get and you don't have to like, I don't know, you're eating such trash on the road, McDonald's and you know, so on. So it's really nice just to have like a whole food every so often on tour.
Yeah. You see a salad bar just over the moon. Those are the only vegetables we'll have that entire tour. Yeah.
I will say though, it is pretty fun to play like a dark club every once in a while. It's just jam packed and sweaty. Nice refresh, I feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's more our headline versus our opening tours. Our headline tours are more in the still, you know, dingier, like Kilby Court esque venues, you know.
Miss Kilby Court a little bit. Some of those early shows were really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a magic to it being in that kind of like that small room and you can see everyone's face. You can see that you're making an impact, right? That's really cool.
For sure.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your songwriting here. We're wrapping up on the interview, but there seems to be a lot of underlying themes in your guys' music. You guys are real storytellers. And one of them is kind of that being sick of the party theme, you know? Do you think that's really resonating with a younger audience who's kind of being kind of flooded with this party lifestyle through, you know, friends and social media and stuff? I just wanted you guys to talk a little bit about that inspiration. You know, do you think it's hitting with people?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question.
I think it is. I think especially people that are inclined to listen to like the genre of music that we occupy are generally kind of the more sensitive artsy kids that would be more inclined to have that attitude towards like partying and where, I think I think a lot of people feel that way. And yeah, I don't know. I think that's a more common feeling than maybe people are aware. Or maybe everyone knows that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe no one knows it.
When we were writing...
We gotta spread the word.
When we were writing this new album, we were like thinking of names. And I feel like I said Champion of the Misfits, but I feel like that's almost like kind of a vibe for our songwriting, mm-hmm. where it's like a little bit, maybe not like the most popular type A, I don't know, opinion or vibe, but then kind of like trying to switch it up and I don't know. I think almost like justify it in your own way, you know, and make sure it's like, oh, that's fine to do. You don't need to follow that. You don't need to follow this. Kind of finding your own path is the way to do it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys certainly have found your own path here to the radio station today. And we really appreciate
thank
your time
you
today.
Very much.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for
you.
Having us. Appreciate it.
I have one last question because I'm dying to know. On your first album, The Come Down, you have a track titled Dan's Basement. Where's Dan's basement?
It's right across from Westminster College, like Westminster. It's yeah, like 21st South and 13th mm-hmm. East, approximately.
We have a music video for it on YouTube that was filmed.
It's actually
in
Dan's
basement.
Yeah, it's yeah. And I do have a friend named Dan who lives in Boise, and he's always very excited whenever I play that song or we go up to Boise. So.
It's like, they said my name.
Yeah, but then the song's kind of like, do you like me? I'm like, no, I like you, Dan.
It just flowed.
Yeah,
well.
It just worked, man.
Sarah, do you want to wrap up here for the last question?
Then? Yeah, I'd love to know what's kind of up next for you guys and where can folks find Crooked Kings this summer?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of exciting stuff. We just finished an album that we're trying to like kind of shop around and look for a label partner right now. So hopefully that will be coming out this fall, or like singles will start to fall this fall. And then what else are we up to? I don't really know. I feel like that's like the big
nothing.
Plan. Yeah. The album's summer. Getting mixed and mastered right now, kind of getting a tour in the books. I think we're pretty excited for
it. Yeah, it's a lot of logistical planning, but coming this next year we'll have like a full tour with that album. So yeah, look forward to new music and a new album and yeah, new tour.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to you guys playing one more song here to wrap up the show. What do you guys want to close out with today?
Should we play Catacombs?
Yeah.
I think we should
play
Catacombs.
I think we can do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And here's Crooked Kings with Catacombs on the community campfire. Drag your feet.
Well, that is the end of the Community Campfire for today. Aww. If you missed it, subscribe to the Community Campfire podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And be sure to follow at KPCW Radio and at Community Campfire on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. YouTube is where you can also catch the music videos from our music sesh. Like, we've got the Crooked Kings up. You
all
can see there were so many of them in studio. It was so awesome. But those videos are all up on the KPCW YouTube page.
And this is the Wasatch Back Community Show. So if you have a great campfire idea, story idea, just send us an email, campfire@kpcw.org.
Also, speaking of bands, you can also send ideas for a band to feature for a future show. John, do you have any final fun facts to end today's show?
Okay,
we
got
to learn some stuff.
One. Did you know that competitive art used to be an Olympic sport? Between 1912 and 1948, the internationally sporting event awarded medals for music, painting, sculpture, and architecture.
Love it. Well,
did not know that.
On that note, we're going to wrap it up here. You've been listening to KPCW Park City.